Nutty debate.
I will say that there's quite a few worlds that I think I would... I'm very selfish. I really just want to survive these worlds. I think I would be able to survive Buffy because I don't live on the West Coast.
There are no Hellmouths in Canada?
No, there's one in Cleveland and there's one in Southern California.
That's it. Okay.
Just checking. So far as I know. And when they got rid of the one in Southern California... she went over to Europe. As far as I know, New York's not really a problem. I mean, yeah, they had a little vampire issue, Spike, whatever. But he was only there for the Slayer, so it's not a big deal.
One thing about Hellmouths is that you wonder if it's an expression of some particular, you know, energy. You bottle it up in one place and it pops up somewhere else. Mm. You know, you got to wonder, once they close these things, where's the next one to pop up and where? How do they choose where it's going? How does, you know, what makes a place vulnerable to a new Hellmouth opening up?
Fault lines, volcanoes.
Sacrifices. It's like demonic gas.
How many lawyers live in the area?
Well, they are mostly demons.
Yeah. The survivability in the Buffy universe is just not great for an average human.
Only if you live in some place like Sunnydale. Look at the mortality rates of a town that you move to. If you see that the obituaries is the biggest section in the school newspaper, don't move there.
Basically, yeah.
But I totally agree with that. But I mean, these demons and such, they got to get there somehow. We show them driving to Sunnydale at various times, and I'm sure they stop by for snacks.
Yeah, that's Mexico. Stay out of Mexico. It's the West Coast, man. I'm telling you. Stay away from the West Coast. You're fine. And I never hear about vampires in Canada.
See, here's another thing about, one of the things that people don't understand about Canada and the northern latitudes, or I should say extreme latitudes, because it also happens in the southern hemisphere, is that the long nights of winter are balanced by long days in the summer. And true. So I think vampires would kind of visit the northern latitudes during the wintertime.
So they'd be reverse snowbirds?
Problem is, if you're not producing your own body heat, then freezing temperatures start becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm,
so I think that Canada is the reason we don't see a lot of Canadian vampires is because during the summertime, you've got a limited amount of time that you can operate because of the long, long days. In the wintertime, you've got problems with low temperatures.
See?
So that's why I think that you've got more vampires in places that are the kind of place like New York City, where during the wintertime, you don't have to be outside as much.
Yeah, you can just travel the subways and easy pickings.
Well, the Yeti have Canada pretty much sewn up, right? I mean, as far as supernatural beings,
true.
it's the big
beast. But it's so cute.
Look at the places that vampires operate in literature, just in general.
Yeah.
New Orleans. True Blood. True Blood is in the South.
Yep.
So is Anne Rice's vampires.
Anne Rice's are in the South.
In Dresden, Sunnydale, they're in South America.
Yeah, South America.
Transylvania.
Transylvania is not a particularly nice climate.
No, but it's not like an Arctic climate or
whatever.
It's not
freezing.
It's temperate.
St. Louis is one. If you've ever read anything by Laurel K. Hamilton, her vampires and everything are based in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah,
that's true. But it's still, St. Louis, Missouri is on the same latitude as Virginia, etc. I mean, it does get cold there, but they don't have the long days that further north have.
Yeah. True.
So, yep, you're on to something here. So if you want to be away from vampires, Canada is the place to be. I do think, though, that zombies would probably choose Canada simply for the lack of, to stop them from decomposing.
That's true.
We have to remember World War Z. That was the only refuge for some people.
That's true.
Yeah, I would think Canada would be more of a refuge because the further north you get, the colder it gets. And if a body isn't producing its own heat, it stops functioning. So zombies would just stop dead in their tracks.
They'd freeze solid, I think. I think that zombies would be less of an issue in the north. So vampires and zombies. The thing is, though, the trifecta between vampires and zombies is werewolves. And I think in Canada... There'd be more places for werewolves to hide in a wolf form So I think that you trade off the threat of vampires and zombies for the threat of werewolves.
But my argument is we have dragons.
Okay. Of course so you do.
Your argument is invalid.
I have dragons. Your argument is invalid.
The world of Buffy is just way too fluffy and huggable to me. I think if I really wanted to live in a world like that, I would definitely go with the Underworld universe. There's
a place
you have to fight for survival.
You have to spend too much money on leather, though.
You don't look that good in leather. Let me tell you, I do not have Kate Beckinsale's body.
Honey, we can do this too.
What about as far as survivability? What about the Doctor Who universe? Because as long as you're not running into the Doctor, if you run into the Doctor, your survivability is about zero. You're going to die.
Well, it depends. It depends. Because you could be, if you win him over, you're more likely to survive. But if you're just like an ancillary character, then you're less likely to survive. So it all depends there, you know.
But even if you survive, things don't turn out well for you. You get stuck in another universe. You lose your memory. All these sorts of, you have to marry Mickey.
You cease to exist.
You know, it's funny you brought this up because I actually was just watching Doctor Who last night. My wife and I, we were watching the End of Time, The Sound of Drums and stuff like that because we were on the last half of our DVD. And I don't know. I think being a human in the Doctor Who universe would be pretty bad because then you've got things like the Toclofane coming down and slicing you into like little baby pieces just because the Master's having a hissy fit.
Doctor
Who is not one universe. I mean, he visits all these different places, and some of them seem actually quite nice, mostly. And then he uncovers some kind of local bit of corruption and helps to root it out. And he does seem to have a certain special place in his heart for humanity in general. And I mean, wouldn't it be nice to know that there was this extremely powerful creature out there that not only was actually out to protect you, but actually existed. I mean, when it comes right down to it, being a human being in the Doctor Who universe is kind of like living in a universe where God exists. There really is someone out there who wants to protect you.
Yeah.
And wants you to have a nice life, but doesn't require all kinds of doesn't require anything of you, basically. Basically, you know, in order to get Doctor Who's protection, you basically just have to be a decent human being.
Yep, yeah. And I have to say, by the way, if you are a child, you will not die, and the Doctor will bend over backwards for you.
Yeah.
True.
And it gives me the possibility of having my very own canine.
See, the aspect of a canine isn't that appealing to me. I'd want a sonic screwdriver.
Yes.
Although I have a TARDIS cookie jar now, so
I already have one.
See, I have a TARDIS now, but see, I beat out your sonic screwdriver.
It's okay. We already got one. I told them we already got one.
But see, it's funny that you bring that up because then I think Nutty's going to have a hissy fit here. But I actually write some Doctor Who fan fiction. And I have a world written up that is actually what would happen if the Doctor wasn't really there to do anything. I mean, he's there, but he's like, you know, in a birdcage type thing. And it's not very good. I was really sad when I wrote up this world.
Bad world, but that does remind me of episodes you have not seen that you might enjoy. And I know you're
concerning me. Yeah, if it's concerning the 11th Doctor, no, thank you.
Well, you know, I know that you've shunned him, and I totally disagree with
Doctor.
Oh, she's a David Tennant fan.
Yeah, I'm a big David Tennant fan and a Christopher Eccleston fan. I do not like Matt Smith. I do not.
The story that you are describing directly correlates with this last season where essentially the Doctor had his hands tied and everything, and it would be very interesting, but you would have to get over it and watch it.
See, one of the things about being a Doctor Who fan, see, I've been a fan since long before Christopher Eccleston appeared. You know, I I have watched every single Doctor, and there are some that you're going to like. And for me, you know, there's a list of which ones I like, and there are some that you're not going to like. And now, of course, it's very easy to hate on Colin Baker. Most people don't like him. But it's just in the nature of things that when they make a new Doctor, they change things. They have a new personality, have a new actor, they have a new style to them. And for people who are... See, the thing is, the new group of people, the ones who are used to Eccleston and Tennant, they're not used to this idea that it changes so much.
But see, I am. I've seen the old Doctor Who. My mom, I'm going to really make her mad here, but she used to get high while watching Doctor Who.
Oh, my.
Podcast, God help me. But, I mean, I knew about the old Doctor Who. They used to play it on PBS where I was from. Yep, and, you know, I am used to the idea of it changing, but I just never found anything likable in Matt Smith. And if I don't find anything likable in the characters, I don't watch it. Same with Torchwood. I mean, I think it was after the second season I stopped watching that too. And I really loved that show, but there was just nothing invested in it for me. And that's like the problem I have with Matt Smith. I'm sure he's a really good doctor, and I'm sure he's grown into his role and everything, but it's just not...
As long as you come back when he's gone, because they're not going to keep him until
forever.
The show's
yeah.
ever. There's going to be not more. As long as
yeah.
you come back when he's gone, then that's fine. You're allowed. I mean, it's another thing about Doctor Who fandom is you're allowed to
have favorites.
And you're allowed to even skip a Doctor. I mean, I have to admit that I kept watching Colin Baker, and get, you know, gritted my teeth against him because I like boobs.
Herbert
Gilliam Brown kept me going through that particular Doctor.
Well, I can say that the creepy old guy is
the first Doctor.
Yeah, the first Doctor, who I always refer to as the creepy old guy.
Well, that's a name for the Doctor, isn't it? He's just a creepy old guy who goes around abducting young.
But see, now he's a creepy young guy. He's not old anymore, and he's a creepy young guy.
Well, it's actually kind of funny because the first Matt Smith episode, a friend of mine was telling me this, that he was at a friend's house watching it. And he shows up, and the companion is just a little girl. And
yep.
his friend's
huh?
son looks up and goes, "Oh, he's a pedophile."
Well, if you consider that how old the Doctor is and how old his average companion is, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that's one of the reasons why the other Time Lords don't really like him very much.
Yeah. It's like, dude, what is wrong with you? You go to this planet, you find these young girls. Like, seriously, man, you're on a list. Do you know how many planets you're not allowed to go to?
There's a great deleted scene from the first season of Matt Smith's first season where they're in the TARDIS. And Amy basically calls him out on, "You mean I'm not the first person to go around traveling with you?" And she's like, "Well, how many other people?" He's like, "A few." "How many were girls?" You know, maybe half-ish. And then she ends up getting, like, the files. And she turns to him and goes, "Leather bikini?"
I've got to find that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant little scene. But it's just, he's a weird old man. I don't think there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing.
Except the first Doctor is creepy.
Well, the first Doctor's creepy. He can get creepy.
Every Doctor's creepy in their own right. Come on.
Well, I would say that Peter Davison's Doctor did not have very much creepy about him. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit maybe from the right angle, but mostly
the celery.
The celery is so cool.
Is creepy.
No, wearing vegetables is like, you know, statement.
It's eccentric.
It's more than eccentric. It's bold. It's awesome. And and he's ready if somebody just doesn't have the fixins for a Bloody Mary.
There you go.
You're ready to go.
My name is Justin McCumber. I'm the creator and one of the co-hosts for the Dead Robots Society podcast. Every week we discuss a variety of topics that are fundamental to the craft of writing, from the differences between tone and theme, to world building, to how to create compelling antagonists. Along with the roundtable discussions, we've also had the pleasure of interviewing published authors, television writers, podcast luminaries, publishing house founders, and magazine editors. We're dedicated to our listeners, and we work hard to pack our episodes with as much quality, education, and entertainment as possible. We never stop encouraging ourselves and our listeners to always be writing and to always be improving. The promised land of publication is our goal, and we know that together we can achieve it. If we can also have a good laugh along the way, all the better. You can find us online at www.deadrobotssociety.com. At our website, you'll find show notes, links to our personal sites, our email address, and direct download links to our episodes. You'll also find a link to our forums, where we've created a private critique group so that you can safely post your work and get comments and suggestions from us as well as our listeners. All we ask is that you participate by critiquing in return. So come to our site, subscribe to our show, and join us. You can also find us at iTunes. Just search for Dead Robots and we'll be there. After that, get writing. We are.
Right, so are there any other worlds that we can throw in? We're getting past an hour. I know I've got to edit a couple things out, but any last stitch worlds that we haven't touched on?
I think I want to drop in a few that I would absolutely never want to visit.
Okay, never visit.
Battlestar Galactica.
Hell no.
Yeah, never.
Deep Space Nine. Well, we've talked about Star Trek. Another one is... well, you know what? I think we've covered all the TV science fiction that is actually a nice place to visit. Pretty much any other television science fiction, it's usually pretty sucky.
I do not want to live in the dollhouse world.
Nope. Nope. But I will say Eureka. I think I could do that.
Yes.
I could do that. I may not be smart enough to actually qualify, but if I were, that would be cool.
But see, Eureka is a lot like the Hogwarts idea, where it could exist right now and we just don't know. Much like Dresden Files.
Yep. Yep.
True.
Much like the Dollhouse. I mean, maybe, Nutty, you'll...
Yeah, but I don't want everyone to... I'm not answering the phone.
Well, another world I want to bring up real fast, and I don't think I necessarily want to live there. It's the other of Jim Butcher's creations, which would be Karna, which is the world of the Codex Alera series, which is it's a fantasy series, but it's sort of almost based on the idea is the lost Roman Legion got sucked into this universe like 1,000 years ago, and then this is the culture that grew up from them. And the cool thing about that universe, that particular universe, is the nature of it would be that if any one of us were there, we would suddenly have cool magical powers. Because as a human, you have access to what are called furies, which are these like spirit, like these elemental spirits that will become attached to you at a relatively young age. And some people have a ton of them, and some people only have like one or two. So you could have a wind fury or a water fury or a metal fury or a plant fury, and you could use them to do things. Like the earth furies make you really strong, and you can even make them, like you could have a giant rock hound as your like friend who runs around and kicks the crap out of your enemies. So which I love about the universe is that you don't have to... We can still be us. We can plop down Nobilis. You can be plopped down and you can be a writer. And you would also have awesome, I don't know, wood ability, able to control wood. So you can make all the pencils you need to write whatever.
Wait. I'm not going to expressly state it.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
But you realize you're talking about an erotic writer. And you just said...
Create wood. Yes.
That's going on the t-shirt.
And with that, I think we're just about done. A couple things spring to mind that we did not cover. We did not cover the Discworld, which, wow, that could be another half hour. And we did not cover Narnia, which even if you do die, you end up in that last heaven place, which is really kind of awesome. But
I want to live in a Christian allegory.
But Christian alligators are fun.
I don't want to live in like Eternia or Etheria. Those two places, no, it's not good.
There are so many of the worlds that we've mentioned that have the Christian allegories in them, including Star Wars and Harry Potter and everything else. Okay. So, you know, you just roll with it. Mixed Nuts and Nutcases, you've been listening to a really roundabout Nutty Debate, where we've gotten off track quite a bit, as we do. And what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to call in and tell me, where do you want to live? 347-NUTTY-42, post it on the blog, nimlast.org/blog, or send me an email, nuttybites@nimlast.org. And we're just going to do a quick roundabout and let everybody pimp and plug whatever they'd like to pimp and plug. Who's first?
I am always the first to pimp and plug. what I'd like to pimp and plug is my anthology book that is now available in ebook and in print, Quicksilver Bridges. It is all of my Metamore City stories collected in one volume.
Nutty approved.
If you are going to Farpoint Convention this weekend, or this month rather, or Balticon in May, I will have copies available to sign and sell. But and it includes the previously unpublished story, Dog's Body. So that one, and if you listen to either my podcast or Chris's, there is an episode available with a coupon code that you can use on Smashwords to get it for $2.99 instead of $4.99 for the ebook. So that's what I'm plugging today.
Mike?
You can find me at voxboxcomics.com. That's my 5 days a week comic strip, Vox in a Box. Or you can go to iTunes and see my podcast, Vox in a Box, where I cover one comic book at a time. Right now going through the X-Men from their relaunch. And check me out there.
And the Mixed Nuts and Cases will remember him from the modern X-Men general parody that I played on my podcast.
Okay,
all
I
appreciate
right.
it.
Julian?
Yep, my second episode of Chemically Inspired will be put out at the end of the month, since it's really the only time I have these days. You can also find me on Twitter at ChemInspire and on Facebook at @JDecorin. My website is decorincreate.blogspot.com. And you can also find a link there to some of my writing, which I'm pretty sure isn't as good as Nobilis's, but still, I am still kind of an amateur, but that's basically what I'm plugging. Come listen to me. I ramble a lot.
And finally, Chris.
I do a weekly podcast called Supervillain Corner, posted every Saturday morning, or has been for the last 18 weeks so far. It's about 10 minutes long, so if you want a really fast, little fun, silly product of my mind, go ahead and download that. You can get that at supervillaincorner.podbean.com. You can get it on iTunes. I have a Facebook page. I have a Google Plus page. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go to follow me at @villaincorner. My email address is supervillaincorner@gmail.com. And I don't think I will be performing, but I will be attending Balticon.
What?
Find me and say hi. I will more than likely be following Jared Axelrod around.
And my listeners are very familiar with me talking about Supervillain Corner, which I absolutely love. And
thank you.
Back and forth between Professor Brain Fever and I. Yeah, he does not understand that the apocalypse will come from me.
Keep telling yourself that, honey.
No, it will. I'm a full supporter of Nimloss's apocalypse.
Besides, you don't know how many beans I put in that chili. Anyway. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please send in your feedback. Let us know what you think. And tune in next time for another Nutty Debate.
Yay!
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimloss Studios. You can find us at nimlast.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlast.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.